President Obama, who got shellacked in November, is having a great December. He negotiated around Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell to get a historic nuclear treaty with Russia passed. He worked with McConnell to get a compromise tax cut deal that infuriated Obama's liberal base. He pushed the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military through Congress. In his news conference yesterday, Obama called it the most productive post-election season in decades and the most productive 2 years in generations.
If there's any lesson to draw from these past few weeks, it's that we are not doomed to endless gridlock. We've shown in the wake of the November elections that we have the capacity not only to make progress, but to make progress together.
Then, heading for Hawaii, Obama did something he's never done before. He walked over to the shivering reporters and shook as many hands as possible and wished them a Merry Christmas before getting on the presidential helicopter. Joining us is political historian Dr. Alan Lichtman, who teaches at American University. And Alan, when asked yesterday, the president declined to call himself the comeback kid, but would you?
Oh, absolutely. This is a far more rapid comeback than the original comeback kid Bill Clinton made. It took him a few years to really get anything out of the new Congress. You know, just in a little over a month, you had a total turnaround. You have an Obama on the offensive, an Obama challenging the Republicans, and an Obama trumpeting the triumphs of the last several weeks. I don't think I've ever seen such a rapid turnaround in such a short period of time.
The latest CNN poll shows 56% of people surveyed approve of the way Obama's handled the lame duck session.
Yeah, and compare that, you know, with approval ratings that, you know, for a year or more have been stuck in the mid-40s. That may not translate into a 10% jump in his overall approval ratings. But anything in the mid-50s has got to make this president smile broadly in Hawaii.
Well, a lot was done, as we said, but let's talk for a minute about what Obama didn't get done. He didn't get the DREAM Act, immigration bill, or a budget. He hasn't closed Guantanamo. He's backtracked a bit on Mideast peace. He's reversed course and decided not to allow offshore oil drilling in some coastal waters. And that's also stalled climate change legislation. How significant do you think those setbacks are?
Well, I think the most significant, first of all, climate change legislation. Look, we have two choices. Let it happen now in a rational way, or let it happen after there's some horrific catastrophe. And that really makes me sad that we don't seem to be addressing the great challenge of our times. And, of course, the second great challenge that has not been addressed except cosmetically and rhetorically are these enormous budget deficits, the piling up of debt, the potential crash eventually of Medicare and Social Security. No one is dealing with that either. These are, you know, two huge looming specters at the feast.
Well, Republicans insist the midterm election was a vote for their agenda, and President Obama said yesterday that he thinks the message of November is that politicians should find common ground. Which way do you see it?
Oh, there's no question Obama's right about that. This was not an election, a yes election for Republicans. It was a no election for the status quo. And it's the third no election in a row, by the way. 2006, 2008, they voted against the ruling Republicans. 2010, the voters voted against the ruling Democrats. And if you look at the polls, Republicans are held in even lower esteem than the Democrats, and more Americans want to follow Barack Obama's agenda than the agenda of Republicans in Congress. But there's also a paradox that cuts at the heart of our politics and our society that makes it very difficult for any government to satisfy the people. On the one hand, the people want their benefits from government, their tax breaks, their Social Security, their Medicare, their flood insurance, their farm subsidies. Some even want government to enforce morality. But on the other hand, people want limited government, states' rights, fiscal responsibility, limited spending. That doesn't work. It's very hard, therefore, for anyone to satisfy those conflicting demands, which is why no one has yet addressed the looming problem of debt and deficit.
Well, the president didn't always please his liberal base. You know, they were very angered by the tax cut deal that included an extension of Bush-era tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, something that Obama had campaigned against. And he shut them out of negotiations, though, calling them purists for not going along with the deal, and then belatedly explained that the deal included what some call a huge second stimulus in the Social Security tax reduction. How do you think he handled this, masterfully or ham-handedly?
Well, you put your finger on what was really going on in that budget deal. Obama knows he's going to get easily reelected if the economy is picking up in the election year. That's exactly what happened with Ronald Reagan, who had lower approval ratings than Obama at this point in his presidency. That's what this deal is all about, and that's why he was so angry with liberals for not seeing it. I don't think he handled it particularly well. But he doesn't much have to worry about liberals, though there is one way he can win a lot of credit back with his liberal base, and that is through a genuine withdrawal from Afghanistan. I think liberals are madder about Afghanistan than anything else.
Do you think with this press conference and the way he's summing up his lame duck session that the president is laying a trap for Republicans to say, come back and let's get things done, or else it's going to be you to blame?
Oh, I think he is laying a trap. Republicans now, because they control the House, do have some responsibility. They can't simply be the party of no the way they were when they were entirely out of power. Harry Truman, although he faced Republican House and Senate, of course, ran against the Republican Congress in 1948 after taking a huge pasting in the midterm elections of 1946, and he won by 4.5 percentage points.
You know, his health care reform agenda is also under legal attack, and there's a showdown looming on government spending as well. What do you see happening? What are going to be the top priorities of this president in January, and what do you think Congress is going to prioritize?
Well, I hope his top priorities are going to be dealing with catastrophic climate change, the environment, and energy. We have had no energy policy now in America for generations, and we must if we're going to face that challenge. Two, you've got to deal with the issues of debt and deficit, although God knows I've yet to see politicians get really serious about that. And obviously, the Republicans have talked a great deal about government spending. That's been their mantra, cut down government spending. And really, it's going to be up to them to put up some real measures that are going to do it. It wasn't in that agenda that they put out before the election. So we're going to see some real clashes in priorities. And, of course, Republicans have said they want to repeal the president's health care bill, but that's not going to happen.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today.
My great pleasure.
Alan Lichtman is a professor of history at American University in Washington, D.C. We'd love to hear your thoughts on anything on the program. Go to hereandnow.org and click on Contact Us to send an email or scroll down and leave a comment. Before we go today, holiday music to make you laugh, cry, and maybe scare you a bit. You're listening to Here and Now.